In our sermon series this morning, Living in the Spirit of God, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn there. We'll be in verses 14 through 21 in just a moment. I am very grateful that you all have come out to worship the Lord this morning. It's always good to be together, especially in the summer months, because so often you have weekends like this where it seems everybody disappears, sort of a conflagration of wonderful things like Father's Day, Juneteenth. It's summer and the weather feels really good. And so we are so grateful for those who are able to go and do, but also grateful for those who are here. So if you have your place in your Bibles in Ephesians 3, let's begin by reading verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When you go to the Lord in prayer, what do you pray about? Who do you pray for? What do you pray to receive? You know, there's so many habits that help us to grow in our faith, none more so than prayer. When we quiet our minds and focus our hearts and speak from the depths of our soul, we're assured that Christ not only hears us, but that he draws near to us as well. It's a powerful thing to know that our prayers actually matter, that through the weakness of our words, a holy and powerful God inclines his ears to us and listens to what we have to say. While we often see prayer as a one-sided exercise, it's important for us to remember that prayer is a conversation between ourselves and God, a conversation that invites us to speak as well as listen. And while we don't generally have a problem speaking to God, it's the listening part that often gives us the most trouble. Because try as we might, it's hard for us to quiet our minds and still our hearts in order to focus and receive what Christ has to share with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. While we might wish and want otherwise, God's Holy Spirit often speaks to us in a still, small voice. And unless we're intentional about listening for this voice each and every day, it'd be real easy to miss out on the power and love that the Spirit's willing to share with us. In today's world, it's no secret that our collective attention spans keep getting shorter and shorter. We're addicted to technologies and interruptions that keep us from living a centered and focused life, through which we can receive this power and love which Paul speaks about here in his letter to the Ephesian church. Now, it's easy to come up with all sorts of excuses for an inattentive prayer life. It's easy to offer up all sorts of other defenses for what we're doing for our faith rather and apart from prayer. But in spite of every excuse and defense that we could ever offer, an inattentive prayer life is indefensible and inexcusable. Because apart from a vibrant and active prayer life that connects us with the power and love of Christ on a daily basis, our wells will run dry and our hearts will turn cold. You know, the biggest, fanciest TVs are useless unless they're plugged into an outlet, right? And the coolest and most expensive cars are only good for collecting dust if their tanks are empty. When it comes to our faith, sometimes the same goes for us. When we try and do things apart from the power and love which comes through prayer alone, For if we try to live by our own abilities, powers, and strength, we'll soon find ourselves empty, spent, and pretty much unable to do anything for ourselves or for others. When it comes to our faith, most of us try to do too much on our own. We test ourselves to see how far we can go in an empty tank. Trust me, it's never far enough. Paul understands the dangers of trying to go it alone. He understands the temptation of always being on the move and trying to give every second of every day to something or to someone. Knowing all this, he prays for the Ephesian church that they would come to know the power and love that's found through faith alone. Now, the people that Paul was writing this letter to and praying for, they were located in the ancient city of Ephesus. And this name, Ephesus, actually means desirable. And at the time that Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesus was an extremely desirable place to live. It was perhaps one of the greatest seaports in all of the ancient world, and three main roads converged in this community. Now, after about a decade after the church in Ephesus had been started, Paul wrote this letter to them, commending the Christians there for their faith and their love. And by all measures, the Ephesian church had done extremely well for themselves. They were well organized, diverse, growing, and very, very busy. While it seems that they had stumbled upon the recipe for success, Paul knew that this success could easily sour unless they remained focused on what mattered the most. They were a young church, and like a lot of young churches, they were on fire for Christ. But their wood was burning hot and fast. If they didn't get centered, grounded, and focused, they'd soon find themselves exhausted, empty, and spent. While Paul does a fair amount of teaching and preaching through this letter, at the heart of it all is his prayerful desire for this young church to establish a firm foundation on which to rest their lives, build their church, and reach their city. Paul's prayer is that they would experience inward growth that would result in outward demonstrations of God's love, mercy, and grace. Now, like some parts of the early church, we too can easily convince ourselves that great works will lead us to an even greater faith. But as Paul demonstrates throughout all of his letters in the New Testament, it's great faith that leads to great works, not the other way around. While we can and should do wonderful things for others, those wonderful things come from the wellspring of faith that we experience in our personal lives and through our community life as a church. And as Paul goes on to explain at length through today's scripture, it's prayer that fills us up and sends us out. Now, after spending, about 9 years here serving alongside you at Forest Hills, it's been very clearly evident for me to see that we are a church that is aware of the needs in our world, local and far away. We're a church that's committed to alleviating pain and suffering whenever and wherever we can. We're a church that wants to be effective in loving people and living the gospel, right? But how can our outward actions be effective if our inward growth is being neglected? How can we be a church on mission if our hearts are empty and our spirits are spent? Time and time again, the words of Scripture remind us that if we wish to be useful workers in God's kingdom, we must give more of our time to prayer and reflection. We've got to make sure that what's on the inside is solid so that our outward actions have a firm foundation on which to stand. Paul so focused on this issue because he knew the dangers of focusing all your time and energy on what others see rather than what we experience ourselves. He knew that if you neglected your inward spiritual health, it'd be easy to fool others into thinking that you're solid as a rock, while all the while you're just sinking in the sand. Jesus talks about this very issue over in Matthew 23, verses 26 through 28, where he says these words. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You ever watch any number of those home renovation shows where they get into this house that looks really, really nice on the outside, and they start uncovering all kinds of structural damage and rot, and you start feeling really bad for these folks? Well, that's what we're doing to ourselves when we put all our energy into outward actions at the expense of our inward growth. And you know what, friends? There's nothing wrong with giving yourself away in service to others. There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide healing and hope to those who desperately need it. We all want to bless the world. But how can we share a blessing unless we ourselves are blessed first? We need to experience a blessing before we can go and try and share those blessings with others. And I get it. All of us want to give and to be effective. I know some of you want to go and serve to the best of your ability, but if you're serving out of your own power and out of your own love, it won't be enough. It won't be enough for you. It won't be enough for them. It simply won't be enough. Because on our own, we don't have much to share with the world. Our energy is finite. Our love is limited. But when Christ makes a home in our hearts and we receive the power and love that the Holy Spirit provides, we're able to do immeasurably more than we ever could on our own. Because then it's not our own power and love that we're sharing with others. It's not our own courage or strength that's seeing us through every battle. Rather, it's the power and love of God that is moving in us and through us. It's a power and love that can't be earned by good works. It's a power and love that can't be bought with money or inherited from others. Rather, these good, life-giving gifts, they come by faith alone. And when we give our faith the time and attention it deserves and pray without ceasing each and every day, we'll be able to share these good gifts with others and make an impact in our world through the things we say and the things we do. That's what Paul's prayer here in Ephesians 3 is all about. He's praying for this church to understand what it truly means to be a Christian. It means knowing God as the all-loving, all-powerful Father of us all. It means becoming deeply rooted in His amazing grace and His selfless love. It means experiencing a powerful peace that comes from moving with the Spirit rather than against it. To be the church that Christ was calling them to be and to do the things that Christ was calling them to do, the Ephesians needed to be filled up before they could be sent out. They needed to establish deep roots in their faith, which would nourish them in ways that their outward actions never could. They needed a faith which would welcome in and nurture the power and love of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it take to receive this power and love? What does it take to become deeply rooted disciples of Christ? Well, you can't stumble upon these gifts. And as we've already said, you can't really do anything to earn them either. Rather, these gifts come by nurturing a deep and meaningful faith. They come by seeking the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They come by making the words of Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, the cry of your heart each and every day. The words which say this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. When we seek God like he seeks us, when we speak with him and he speaks with us, when we praise God for all things, big and small, that's how our faith increases. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit's power and love. You know, sometimes we make our faith too complicated, don't we? Sometimes we forget how to speak plainly about the things that matter most. Today, I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to beat around the bush. I just want to share with you a timeless truth, and that truth is this. There's no way to receive God's power and love apart from giving him your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's no bypass. There's no alternative. To live a life worth living, you must give your entire life to Christ. For many of us, we come to faith offering all of ourselves, don't we? We get on our knees and ask Jesus to save our souls and transform us from the inside out. But over time, some of us decide to slow that transformation down by holding some things back from Jesus, by not giving all of ourselves to the life-changing power and love of Christ. And yet, shockingly, many of these same people are surprised when their faith starts to falter, when they realize that their roots aren't as deep as they thought. Somehow they're amazed that a non-existent prayer life, spotty church attendance, and self-indulgent priorities aren't lifting their spirits like they thought they would. Now, I don't speak these words out of judgment. Rather, I share them out of caution. We cannot experience a life worth living if we're not living all of it for Christ. We can't be nourished by God's goodness and grace unless we're deeply rooted in him, because otherwise our shallow roots are going to get burned by the sun. They're going to get washed away by the rain. They are going to get tossed about by everything that comes its way. But a deeply rooted disciple of Christ can stand firm. A deeply rooted disciple of Christ can endure the storms of life, and they can do one thing that matters more important than the rest. They can deepen those roots season by season, year by year, so that their nourishment, their love, and their power will increase. Not because of anything coming down, but because of what is growing down. The power and love that Paul speaks about is found through faith. And the great things that Christians have done, are doing, and will do for the world, those will all be done by faith too. That's how we can experience a life worth living, by faith. That's how we can experience a peace that transcends all understanding, even as we confront things like death and disease and heartache and abuse. That is how it all comes our way. It starts with faith. In spite of all the things that can easily get our attention and take our focus away, the main thing for us will always be the main thing. As we're reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Paul understood the great things that we're capable of doing. He understood that we're capable of overcoming adversities. He understood that we're capable of experiencing an indescribable power and love. But those great and wonderful things that we experience ourselves and that we share with others, they come by faith alone. They come by giving your heart, soul, mind, and strength to Jesus. Not just once, but all the time. By making the conscious decision to seek him and serve him every day of our lives. If we're making the main thing, we will experience the power and love which comes by the Holy Spirit. So don't lose your focus, and please don't get it twisted. We get all of Jesus when Jesus gets all of us. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit to comfort us and speak to us today. As we consider what it means to be your church and to do the things that you have called us to do, remind us, Lord, that of all the things you have called us to, you have first called us to faith, to nurture a deep and meaningful relationship with you through which we can not only speak to you, but through which you can speak to us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that you are speaking, Lord, as we strive to listen for your still, small voice. Call us to give our faith the time and attention it deserves each and every day. And help us to live boldly by deciding each day as well to live for you and by sharing a blessing with others through the things we say and the things we do. Help us to always remember what the main thing in our lives is, and help us to always remember to give you all of us so that we can get all of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.